This is Educating Technology, a podcast about using technology in our schools. Last time, Chris and I discussed our recent moves to SoFo Central for threat protection. This week, we're focusing on the new Surface Go tablet and whether or not it would be a good fit for schools. If you like what we're doing, you can support us by going to patreon.com/educatingtech and becoming a patron. Now, on with the show. Hey, guess what? We got new Macs.
Yay!
But we're going to talk about that in a minute. First thing I want to start with is we're going to do Matt's semi-regular movie pass segment of our podcast where I talk about movie pass. And I think the segment started me like praising the great thing that movie pass was, $10 a month for unlimited movies.
Well, man, has this conversation degraded over the shows?
Yes. And I knew that this was going to happen because movie pass is like notorious for this. Movie pass has been around for a while. I mean, it's been around for many, many years. I mean, it started with a $10 a month thing, and then it went to $20, and then I think it ended up actually at $50 a month. But when you think about it, if you go see more than five movies a month, you're still coming out. You're pretty much breaking even at that point. So it's that sixth movie. But I wasn't doing that. But they went back. They got some new investors or something, and they dropped their price to $10 a month. And I'm thinking, okay, this is a pretty neat idea. And so, as we know, as our listeners know, I signed up, and I've been going to a lot of movies. Well, they've started doing their little things where they say they're changing their terms of service. And so they change it where you can only go see a movie one time. And then now they're introducing something called peak pricing, where if you go to a movie like at a certain date and time, they may charge you an extra $3 to $6 to go see this movie. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, that's not too bad. I mean, I go see movies at obscure times. I go like at Saturday morning at like 9:30 in the morning. I'll go to a movie. I'll go on a Tuesday afternoon after work. And so I'm kind of going at like what I would consider off peak times. But I saw a Reddit post today that it started rolling out in Raleigh, North Carolina. And somebody got peak pricing for a Wednesday night movie. And I'm like, when has Wednesday night been a movie theater's like hot night to go to a movie?
Well, you know, I wonder if they're doing peak pricing for like prime time hours instead of days.
Well, I mean, because I like to go, like when new movies come out, it's like they come out on a Friday, but they always have something what they call a quote unquote preview night on Thursdays. And I wouldn't even consider Thursday the weekend. So I wouldn't even consider that opening weekend. It's like the preview night. And so I would go on Thursdays at like 7 o'clock to go see new movies that I want to go see. Because our theater here in town is not very busy on Thursday nights, even for new movies. Like I went and saw Ant-Man and the Wasp at 6 o'clock instead of 7 because I thought it was going to be more popular. So they had a 6 showing and a 7 showing. So I went to the 6 o'clock one. There were literally 25 people in the theater with me. I mean, and if they consider that peak pricing, I just don't know. I think I'm going to cancel. I really think I'm going to cancel.
So, are you going to sign up for any of the other services?
Well, the ones in our area are not very good. The one that really I like is the AMC's Stubbs A-List, which you pay like $20 a month, and you can go see three movies a week. You're not limited to just 2D movies. You can go see 3D or IMAX, and you can reserve your tickets online. And so, like, if I wanted to go see three movies on a Saturday, I could literally go see three movies on a Saturday in 1 week. And you don't have, like, this time limits of, like, the 24 hours. And you can use them whenever you want, three movies a week. That's not a bad – I mean, for $20 a month, that's not a bad deal. I would pay $20 a month for MoviePass if they quit changing all their quote-unquote terms of service and doing all these different limitations.
Well, I mean, aren't they, like, hemorrhaging money at this point?
Oh, yeah. I think they're losing, like, $20 million a month. I mean, it's really bad.
That's not a prolongable business model.
But what they're doing is they did disrupt the industry, though, because, like you said, everybody's doing subscription things now. Like the movie theaters we have in our town, we have Cinemark and we have Regal. Regal apparently is owned by a UK company that has done a subscription thing for like years. And so it's just a matter of time before it comes. And so I'm kind of waiting to see what they come up with, because the Cinemark one is terrible. You pay $8.99 a month and you can go see one movie a month. One movie. You can get all of your other tickets for $8.99 as well, and you get like 20% off concessions. But I'm not a big concessions guy. I don't really want the popcorn, and I don't drink soda, and I'm not paying $4.50 for a bottle of water. I'm just not doing it, and so that doesn't really appeal to me. That may appeal to some people, and that's fair. I mean, MoviePass may appeal. I mean, I tried to get my brother to buy MoviePass. He wouldn't do it, and I kind of understand why. But I think I might just cancel it. I mean, it's just, and just go back to renting movies when they come out and just not seeing everything in the world when it ever comes to theaters and just seeing the ones that I really want to see. I mean, because to me, it's just getting a little crazy. I think I'll wait until like the peak pricing starts applying to me because it's rolling out in certain areas. And I'm going to see like what they consider peak pricing for our area. And then I'll go from there. But if I get dinged on like a Saturday morning at like 9:30 in the morning as peak pricing, something's wrong. Especially if it's Tuesday or Wednesday. I just don't think that's peak pricing time. And how are they even coming up with that? Are they like, we have a whole bunch of MoviePass users going to the theater at Wednesday at 7 o'clock to go see a movie. Well, you know what? That's the whole point of the peak pricing thing, is to force people to go to movies not on weekends to drive more traffic to theaters. And so that's going to be their peak pricing.
Well, I guess whenever there's a lot of people there, that's naturally considered the peak at that point.
I mean, that would make sense to me, but...
So I guess you should just go on Saturday nights.
Are they going to determine my peak pricing time on, say, people in like MoviePass users in like Houston or Dallas or Austin or New York City?
Probably, because that's how these companies seem to do things. Because
I tell people about MoviePass and they have no idea what I'm talking about. So I don't think it's as popular in our area as it may be in bigger cities. But it's just
absolutely not. Because, I mean, most people have to drive 30 minutes to go see a movie.
I do. Yeah. 20.
And that's an hour driving round trip. So a lot of people don't do it very often.
Yeah. And plus it's just like you and I talked about, it's like the cost of going to a movie is just, it's getting ridiculous. I mean, yes. A family of four going to the movies, you can easily spend $200 probably between tickets and concessions. I mean, it's bad.
Unless your wife has a really large purse.
Yeah, but we do not condone or encourage.
I condone it and encourage.
I don't, and here's why. Well, I kind of do. But number one, the prices are ridiculously high for the concessions. But here's why they're high. Movie theaters do not get a whole lot of money from ticket sales. Movie theaters make their money from concessions. And so that is why concession prices are so high.
Well, this is true. The Walgreens... on the way to the movie theater has the exact same box of candy, buy two, get one free, and they're only 99 cents a piece that they're selling for $4.
That's true. And that's how they make their money, is by selling the same kind of candy.
Actually, they don't from me.
Oh, well.
But I don't go see movies, maybe two a year the most.
Yeah, and so, but I mean, it's just, I kind of understand why their prices are so high, but it's just, it's way too high.
I mean, popcorn
should not cost like $8 for a bucket of popcorn.
No, and nor should a movie theater ticket cost $8 either. I mean, we had the one here in town locally where I live, Silsby, that was $1.50 until about 4 years ago, and then they raised the price to $3.
That's still reasonable. I mean,
It was very reasonable. That was the only place we went. And they only had one screen. And we even did buy concessions there because it was reasonable. We weren't being charged $16 just to walk in.
And, you know, the one that we had in Orange that closed after Hurricane Harvey, which I was a little disappointed in because that was my, you know, it's 9 o'clock and I kind of want to go see a movie. So I'll just go run to this little movie theater. I mean, you paid like $5 for the ticket and your popcorn may have been $5. I mean, you were easily going to see a movie.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, $15 you were at the movies with your drink, your popcorn, and your movie ticket. And to me, that's reasonable. I mean, I dropped $15 on less important things than that. So, I mean...
I understand.
But it's just... MoviePass is just getting weird. And I don't know... I'm gonna hang on until peak pricing goes into effect in our area. Because I think they said probably in the next few weeks it'll be everywhere. And so I'm going to see how it goes. And then I'm going to go from there. But to me, it's not looking good.
Well, I know you've really enjoyed it because you have told me about just about every movie that you've seen, and it's incredible the amount of them you've gotten to see for that price.
And it's movies, and there's been times that I was like, hey, I just kind of want some popcorn today, and so I'll get some popcorn. It's like I'm more apt to buy concessions now because I'm not buying a movie ticket.
There you go.
But it's like I just don't know. I want to see what Regal's going to come up with as far as a subscription thing. And because I like the idea of Netflix for movies. I mean, I like the idea. And it's a great idea. I mean, it's causing me to get out of the house more, really. Amanda goes shopping and I go to the movies. I mean, so it's a win-win. And it's like I took my kid to the movies and I paid for his ticket and I movie passed my ticket. And so that was just kind of neat that that when I take him to the movies or if we go to the movies as a family, that part of the that expense is already covered. And so and movie pass is actually supposed to add like where you can buy like a second ticket and like maybe a family pass or something like that. I don't know. But we'll see. I'll see how it goes. If they try to tell me that 2 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon,
and that's peak time. I mean, you could barely get in the door. There were so many people there.
Yeah, if that's peak time, then we're going to have a problem. But yeah, so we got new MacBook Pros, and they upgraded the 2017. I guess it's now the 2018. They did some pretty good upgrades to it. They actually
have some good stuff. But did you see the price of the top end one now?
Oh yeah, it's like $6,700 for the maxed out 15-inch.
Ouch.
Yeah, I was telling my boss about it today, and I was like, yeah, I need about $8,000 for a new laptop. So I was just like, I was almost close.
Did you get denied?
Oh, yeah, she said no.
Oh, okay.
But that's okay. But yeah, they upgraded to DDR4 RAM, so now you can have up to 32 gigs of RAM. That's apparently what people want. I'm perfectly fine with 16, and that's probably even too much, really, for the things that I do. You can now get an i9 processor in the 15-inch MacBook Pro. I think that's really cool. They added the T2 thing, I think is what it's called, T2 chip. It's like their security chip to help them like boot more
they're
secure.
Like their embedded management chip and all that.
It's that ARM chip that they put in the iMac Pro. And so it also gives them the ability to do the Hey Lady without actually pushing a button. So the
Hey Cortana.
Yeah, you can talk to it. And you get the True Tone.
Cortana, her name's Siri. Oops.
Yeah. they put the True Tone screen in. Which is really kind of cool if you have a True Tone device to be able to see the screen like adjust to the white level in the room or the area that you're actually using your device in. That's actually a really neat feature. And of course, it'll have the other thing, the night shift that takes some of the blue light out as the sun goes down, which I also find rather enjoyable.
Actually, I have that enabled on my phone that I automatically do it at like 9 o'clock at night, and I don't turn the blue shade stuff off until in the morning when I wake up, and it actually does help me sleep because I'm one of those people that lay in bed and I look at my phone for a while still.
Yeah, I turned on the toggle that said sunrise and sunset. That's when mine starts to go into effect, and it'll be like a slow. The later you go, the darker, the more yellow I guess it gets. But yes, they have a new improved, quote unquote improved, third generation keyboard.
Actually, I thought it said they didn't change the keyboard.
They only improved it because they made it quieter.
So it's still broken.
So it's still broken.
Okay.
And the big question that I've been looking for the answer for is, will this new MacBook Pro be included in the keyboard repair program? Will this new keyboard be in the keyboard repair program since it's essentially the same keyboard? And I have not been able to find that answer yet.
I guarantee not, because it's a different generation.
Yeah, you're probably right, but I mean, it's the same thing. And I think I read some article that somebody reached out to Apple and said, hey, does this fix the problem of why you're doing the repair program? It's like, no, those issues were not addressed in this keyboard. And so, no, it absolutely has not been changed. And, you know, that keyboard is the reason why, and I'm a little bit disappointed because they actually took away the computer that I actually recommended people to buy in the 2015 MacBook Pros. They actually stopped selling those finally. Because that was the one that I always recommended to everybody. I mean, yes, it had a slower processor in it. They weren't updated. They were still kind of costly. They were still charged on their original price or whatever it was for four-year-old hardware.
I'm not going to go there because...
yeah. But the thing is, it was a keyboard that was reliable. And so
actually a fantastic keyboard.
Yes, that's the model I have. Is I have a 2015 13-inch MacBook Pro, and I love this computer. It's like I'm not even interested in getting a new one.
I do have a question, because you are the Apple hardware guy.
I try to be.
This is the first generation MacBooks that support DDR4?
I believe so, yes. This is where they switched to it.
That means they have not been using anything... They've not used anything newer than fifth generation Intel chips, because sixth generation's when they switched to DDR4.
Well, I know that it was a big complaint among like quote unquote pro users because they wanted like 32 gigs of RAM, but the computer couldn't handle it because of the type of RAM that it accepted was DDR3. That was the RAM that Apple used, and so now with the switch to DDR4, you can actually get 32 gigs of RAM.
Yeah, and where that stems from is on those prior generations, I mean, they only had two sockets on there, and those chips could only accept 8 gig DIMMs.
Well, you also know, I mean, more chips on the little on the stick. So I mean, that makes the chip a little bit heavier. And you know, Apple's all about the church of thin and light. So I mean, well, you got to make the RAM sticks as light as possible too.
This is true, but those Intel chips, they only supported 8 gig per DIMM, and that's a CPU function because the DIMMs are directly wired to the CPU.
Yeah. But I do think it's neat that they put an i9 in it. I mean, I would love to see like some Geekbench scores on that thing. I bet it is screaming fast.
It's a 6-core, so I mean, it's a Bend i7 6-core.
And you know, to me personally, I know what I do. That's like way overkill for anything that I would need a laptop for.
More cores, the better.
But it's like I could see like desktop powerhousing for like video production and I guess app development and playing games and stuff like that, needing more and more cores. But like, I mean, for what I do, I mean, I'm fine with my little dual core. I'm really okay. I love my little laptop. I do not have a single complaint other than the fact that it's been in the shop twice. But but I love my MacBook Pro, my 2015 13-inch MacBook Pro. I really do like it. I love it.
Oh, that's cool.
I love the keyboard. It works. It doesn't stick. But then again, I use it in clamshell mode a lot of the times too, so I just don't really use the keyboard.
I kind of take the other approach. I have a really big, beefy desktop that I do things on. And then I have a laptop that it's a dual core, and it's that around those same kind of specs. And I love the keyboard on it. I love to type on it. But it's my mobile thing, so that's what's important. Can I type on it? Can I get my work done?
Yeah.
It's not, I don't need 16 threads and 32 gig of RAM on it.
Yeah, I don't really like dealing with two machines when I don't have to, and so I just kind of stick with one machine. Just makes life a little bit easier for me.
I can't put my Vega Frontier in my little Lenovo.
That's the thing. I don't play games, and so that's why I can get away with what I do. It's just like my little laptop is perfect for what I do. Now, ideally set up, it's like I would love like a 27-inch iMac or an iMac Pro sitting on this desk, and then I have like the MacBook with the one port as like my mobile machine, where you just need to go like plug into a switch real quick or plug into something, or where you don't really need multiple ports in to do things, but you have the desktop always on, always doing different things and just available for you whenever you need it. And so, but that would be an ideal setup. But you know, we work in education, so funds are limited, and I'm probably lucky that I actually have a MacBook Pro as my computer as opposed to
I say the machine I carry around here for work is my personal I bought.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm lucky in the fact that that the school actually bought me something.
I'm saying my desktop is from a prison.
Yeah, gotta love those machines.
And you know what's sad? I'm the one that approves these things.
Yeah, well, it happens. I mean, you're cost effective for the school. You're getting good equipment for a good reasonable rate. I mean, free. I mean,
$350 free.
Gotta love donation stuff.
Yeah, I do buy SSDs to replace the drives in them because, well, spinny drives stink on Windows 10.
Oh, yes. Well, 7200 is not bad, but 5400 is horrible. I got rid of a whole lab just because because it was so bad. I was like, this lab is gone. It just, I don't even care that we have a lab that's older than this, but I don't have Windows 10 on it yet, so this one does. So this one's gone.
I love it.
But yeah, so what we're going to talk about today is it's kind of something else. Somebody else, another big company, released something new this week.
They're just like 3 years too late, but I'm still excited it's out.
Yes, and I find it great. I mean, I think it's a great. I'm glad they finally did this. And I kind of want to start off this. You remember the first Surface? It was like a table. Literally, it was a Surface.
It was a table. And that's why they called it Surface.
They had that demo where like you stuck your camera onto the table and it just like sucked all your pictures off of it.
Yep.
I mean, that was just the Surface line has always been neat, in my opinion. Just the different things that they can do for it. And now they've grown this product line. It's like they have the Surface Pro, which is the tablet with the little cloth colored keyboard, and I can take that or leave it, to be honest with you. Cloth covered keyboards.
It's not cloth. They'll get offended if you call it cloth. It's Alcantara.
Either way, whatever. I can't even say it. It's so bad. But no, it's like my iPad Pro's got one too, so it's okay. but it's like they go with the Surface Pro, and then they come out with the Surface Book, and then unfortunately they come out with the Surface Dock. Blah. And then
I was reading some. Speaking, I know you've had some really horrible woes with your Surface Docks and Surface Books, but you're not the majority.
I know.
I don't know how it happens. You got some bad luck on them Surface Docks, though, and I will attest to it.
It's rough. I'm waiting on a lady to come back from vacation. She was having problems with hers when she left, before she left. So I've got to deal with that. It's like the dock works, but it's just something with the external display. But that's a story for another day. And then they came out with the Surface laptop, which was supposed to be like, and they announced it with like the education event. So, and then they're going to drop $1,000 laptop at an education event. But what they should have done,
perfect sense, right?
What they should have done was release the Surface Go.
Yes.
At the education event, we now have a $399 starting price of basically a little 10-inch Surface Pro.
You know, I bet this is what they wanted to release, but it wasn't done.
Yeah, and so it was delayed, right? Even though it's not released, it's still delayed. You can't delay something if it's not released, or release date's not announced. But it starts at $399. Education pricing, I think it was like $379. I think $369, something around there. It doesn't come with the keyboard, doesn't come with the stylus, which some people can take or leave the stylus. I mean, let's just be honest.
If you're getting a Surface, though, you're getting it for the stylus. It's kind of like buying a Samsung Note.
Yeah.
And never using the pen. Well, why'd you get it?
Yeah. But you can use it without the pencil. I mean, without the pen. We're using Windows 10 on desktops and not using the pen. The Windows Ink stuff is all still there, but it's just we just don't use it because we don't have a pen. And it works just fine. Does a lot of stuff. You have to get the keyboard, which, I mean,
you don't have to. You don't have to.
You can use the on-screen keyboard, but it's putting the Surface line. There's a Surface laptop that is now in line in pricing with that new iPad for education. I mean, it's right there.
It's close. $100. If they would have caught this $100 lower, man. But I know they couldn't. I mean, they're using that really premium magnesium materials for the build, the body. They got their really expensive hinge design on there. I mean, it's a quality product.
I mean, I was really impressed. I did some the processor has one of those weird names. Which is essentially, it's
Pentium Gold 4415Y.
Yeah, I did some research on that. It's a 1.6 gigahertz processor. It looks like it's a couple years old, I think. But that'll be okay.
17, 14 nanometer, 2-core, 4-thread.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it'll be, for what this device is designed for, I think it'll be fine. It'll work great. I mean, I think you can put like 8 gigs of RAM in it, and I think you can actually get up to 16, depending on how much. Or vice versa, maybe it's 8 and then, or 4 and
yeah,
8.
Yeah, 4 and 8.
4 and 8. And then you can get, it starts with like 64 gigs of storage, which is like eMMC.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I need to warn people on. eMMC and SSD are very, very different. eMMC is just an embedded multimedia card, which is part of the Secure Digital family.
Yeah, and then or you could get like an SSD in it for like 128 gigs SSD. I think it's about $150, $200 more. It looks like for the next level up, the second tier. But still, to me, that's still a good price considering the size. But then you got to tack on the fact that you got to buy the keyboard and the stylus if those are what you want.
Yeah, you're looking for a full setup. You're looking for another $150.
Yeah, and so it's
but USB-C, it has the traditional Surface dock connector, which I know you're a huge fan of.
Absolutely not.
They had the courage to include a 3.5 millimeter headphone port
and an SD card slot.
It's micro, but that's what they had on all the Surface Pros. It's kind of under the hinge.
Yeah.
And I think we're looking at the same page right now. Works with the Surface Dial.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. The Surface Dial is pretty cool. I just love this device. I think it's great. I think it's
too. And it includes the infrared webcam, so it can do the facial login for Windows Hello stuff.
Yeah, they put a lot into this little low-cost device, and I think it's great. And so my question to you is, do you see this being an education device?
Eventually.
I think the price needs to come down a little bit.
I think I said this to you already. If they would have, like, instead of making this really premium case, the magnesium thing from the Surface Pro, if they would have done something more along the lines of the rubberized magnesium like Lenovo, they could have got the price down some more.
But would it fit in with the Surface lineup, not having the Surface material, the aluminum or magnesium body style of the Surface? Would it still look like a Surface product? I guess that's my only thing. It's like
it wouldn't be silver.
It just it still looks like a Surface Pro.
It does. That's kind of neat. It is a Surface product. Everything about it is Surface. It's just cheaper. But if they would have, maybe they can release kind of like Apple did many years ago. They had the iMac and the eMac.
Yeah.
The eMac had a little cheaper case design and whatnot to get the cost down. Maybe they'll do that for the education side because, man, if they could knock another $100 off, man, they're as cheap as an iPad.
My whole thing is, I think if you can make the device $500 and includes the keyboard and the stylus, I think that'd be the way to go.
Well, I mean, it'd be cheaper than that.
Well, yeah, that's true. To buy, I mean, just like $450 or something like that.
Yeah.
Like $399, you get like the stylus. If it came with the stylus at $399 and then say for $400, which would put it education at like $450, I guess. You get the keyboard too. And because I was buying iPads for $500. When they were $4.99. I mean, I was buying them then. And so, I mean, this is a Windows device. And I'm not worried about the Windows 10S because that's not a problem. That'll
it's
go away.
It's S mode now.
Yeah. That'll go away with my school agreement. I mean, this thing can be imaged, wiped out, reinstalled Windows, could put full-blown education version on this. It will run it. I mean, you just have to, if you were like going to buy it today, you'd have to pay a little bit more to get Pro put on it. But with my school agreement, I can wipe that thing out because I think the only thing is it's like the device has to have some kind of Windows license on it in order for the school agreement to work. I think there was some like weird requirement that used to be back in the day. So you'd always have to buy like something. Like if you bought like your computers from Dell or something, it's like put the lowest version of Windows that we can afford that you could put there. It was a dumb restriction.
Well, on that on the S mode thing, this is Windows 10 in S mode. I mean, it's Windows 10 Pro. It's just in S mode.
I know the S mode, it like limits everything to the store.
And it does. And I'm looking it up right now because, you know, that's how I roll. And apparently you can just go into the Microsoft store. There's a one-way switch that's available for free that'll turn it out of S mode. You just go in there and search for switch out of S mode, and it's a package it installs.
Oh, and so you don't have to pay extra for it?
No.
Oh, well, then never mind. That'll work.
That's cool. I know. I'm glad they did that.
And, you know, S mode would be fine as long as I can get the testing software in the store, which I think it is.
Never. Is it?
Is it? I don't know. Probably not. That would be really great if they did, because there are just two of them that we need. We need ETS and we need TestNav. And other than that, I think I'd be fine with everything. Because Microsoft Office is in the store if you wanted to stick with Office. And then most everything else we would use. Adobe. We do some Adobe stuff too. And so,
we're
not going to do that on these tablets.
I don't think you're going to be doing Adobe Premiere and Photoshop on here.
And so I really like this. I mean, I really, really like this device. I think it's a great device.
Did you see the resolution on the screen too?
I know. It's amazing.
It's great.
And it's 10 inches. It's small. It's iPad size, which I love the size of the iPad.
This? You were talking about that little Dell laptop that I carried around.
Yeah, the Venue.
This is it.
I mean, this is
its replacement.
This is great. I mean, like I said, I wish the pricing would have come in just a little bit cheaper, just to make it a little bit more education friendly.
It'll get there.
I guess. But yeah, it'll get there. Probably, yeah. Or
when they discontinue them and fire sell them, it'll get there.
Yeah. I just...
Joking. I want it to succeed.
I
really
do too,
like it.
Because, I mean, Chromebooks are great. Don't get me wrong. But there are times when I wish... we've had the conversation where, like, if we had the chance to do it again, whether we do Chrome or Office 365, and if it was, like, feature parity now, like it is now, I might would go Office 365.
This would have made the decision a lot harder than we had to make a few years ago.
Yeah, if we had this kind of device and the feature set that Office 365 has now with the classroom and the management pieces and Intune and stuff like that, if we had those things available back when we started going Google Apps or Google G Suite, whatever it was called back in the day. Who knows what it's called today? I don't even care anymore.
It may have changed.
Yeah. We're recording on a Thursday. We publish on a Friday. The name may change between this recording
disclaimer,
and the publishing.
Right?
but it's like if we would have had like the feature sets now and this device, we might be having a whole different conversation. We all might be Microsoft Educator certified now instead of Google Education certified. So, I mean.
And it may have been. And, I mean, what's really cool, I mean, this thing has the ability to run whatever you want.
And that's what blows my mind. It's like Apple has those what is a computer, ads for the iPad, which is kind of ridiculous.
Which we all hate.
And don't get me wrong, the iPad, my iPad can do a lot of things. I'm configuring switches.
But it can't run Visual Studio.
It can't run Visual Studio, yes. I mean, I can
or VirtualBox.
I can run a text editor. I can write code on it, but I can't, like, run the code. But it's like my iPad can do a lot of things. I can configure my switches. I can watch my videos. I can create documents and spreadsheets and do a lot of stuff on the Pro, on the iPad Pro, or just regular mm-hmm. iPad 2. So don't get me wrong. It's a good device, and I love my iPad. Don't get me wrong. I love it for what it is and for what it's doing. But this is a full version of Windows, capable of running full version Photoshop, not a mobile version, on a 10-inch tablet. Now, Photoshop may not run that great, but it'll run.
It will, but it wouldn't be a good experience.
You're not going to be editing video on this thing, even though you probably could run Premiere on it. You could.
You could.
But
I wouldn't recommend it.
But. You won't be editing like 2-hour motion picture. But, I mean, quick little school videos or something that your class is putting together, yeah, sure, it'll do that. Photoshop for your journalism photos and stuff, yeah, it'll do that. I mean, it'll crop photos and fix lighting and stuff like that easily. I mean, it may just, it's like processing audio on a MacBook with the one port. It's like the processor's slow. It just takes longer to do things. It's still capable, though.
I mean,
it still do
if
it.
If we think about this, this processor is basically what's in your iMac, right? I mean, which is in your MacBook right now.
I mean, it's just a little bit older. It's got a weird name. But, yeah, it's the same thing.
It's not older than the one you're running right now is what I'm saying.
Well, that's true.
You're going to get about the performance of yours.
I mean, just think about the things that we were doing with our netbooks, running those Intel Atom processors.
Oh, those poor things.
And now here's something that's like...
They were single core.
Yeah, almost. I mean, and we were doing some crazy stuff with those netbooks or trying to get them to do some crazy things.
We just had to wait for it.
Yeah. And now you've got something like this, which is coming into that form factor and almost that cost. And look how powerful it is. I mean, it's Murphy's Law, right? Smaller and powerful. Isn't that how it goes?
Moore's Law.
Moore's Law. Okay.
Murphy's Law is what I live by.
Oh. Which one is that one?
What can go wrong will.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. But it's just great. I mean, I love this little device. I think it's great. I find it intriguing. I want it to succeed. I wish that I wasn't so heavily invested in Chromebooks at this point to switch. I just don't think it would go well.
Oh, no. I'm too far in.
But, yeah. In fact, I've got six carts sitting outside my office. I just don't have any Chromebooks for them yet. Apparently, the Chromebooks are now in back order. So, seems like that's always a problem.
It's kind of like
I don't know
my
why.
Interactive displays that I ordered in May. That'll be in the end of August.
Yeah, that's about when my Chromebooks will be here. It's like, so what am I going to do with six carts? I literally have nowhere to store anything, but I got these six carts and no Chromebooks for them. This is nuts. Way to go, Hurricanes. Thanks for ruining everything.
True.
But yes, it looks like it is available as of pre-order on July 10th, and then you'll be able to like pick up on August 2nd. So just in time for back to school. I mean, really, if they were targeting this for schools, they would have came out like May, because yeah, that's kind of when purchasing decisions
are made.
They're
pushing this to business customers, too.
Yeah, and that's great, too. I mean, I like that'll be fine. I mean, because... There, people use small, thin, light devices in business as well. And just think, I mean, this would have been great to have when we were working at the service center.
Yeah,
as a machine,
this would have been the right device.
Because, I mean, that's what we tried to do with the netbooks. We wanted them to be something. Well, I mean, they weren't thin and light, but I mean, especially when we put those like 9-cell batteries in them, because the batteries were horrible. Well, I put the 9-cell battery.
Made it like 6 inches more.
Yeah, and weighed like 5 pounds more. But that's what we wanted. We wanted something small and powerful to be able to go into closets at schools and do different things. And luckily, I'm able to kind of do that with my iPad now. But it's like, this is what we needed back then. I mean, like, but you know, it's Microsoft's legacy, you know, the Zune, day late and a dollar short. Now the Surface Go, probably going to be a day late and a dollar short. When it comes to education,
I think it's going to be good for those customers that are already in that infrastructure. Like the previous place I was, they would have ate this up.
But yeah, for the people that are stuck in Office 365, well, stuck, I say the people that are stuck in it, the people that choose to use Office 365, I mean, this is a great device for them instead of having to buy like full blown laptops or those. I mean, they could still buy those cheapo Lenovo N23s that are running Windows 10. I mean, those are doing just fine, too, I'm sure, especially.
It's got the same storage that this does.
Yeah, and so But this is just so pretty. I mean, the Surface devices are just pretty. Except for that dumb kickstand on the back. I don't like that.
How's your iPad Pro stand up?
With the keyboard case that I paid $150 for.
With a kickstand?
No kickstand. I hold it up with my hands. That's how it's held up. But yeah, I mean, I really find this device intriguing. I can't really say that enough, which I probably have. But it's just something they've needed for a while for the Surface lineup. The Surface lineup is really coming together. I mean, with the Studio, the Surface Pro, the Surface Book, the Surface Laptop, and now the Surface Go.
They're beautiful devices. And Microsoft, complete the Surface family with Andromeda. Don't kill it. Release it.
Oh, the little courier tablet?
Yes.
And then they need the Surface phone, too. They really need it.
They don't even need the phone. Andromeda would do it.
I think they need to do the phone. I really
do. It would fold in half. It's a phone.
I think they need to do this is how they need to do a Surface phone. They need to do a Surface phone.
With the Surface dock connector, right?
No, yes, exactly right. That's how they charge. They need to do an Android phone with the Microsoft launcher and a Surface device. That's what they need to
do. They actually sell those in the Microsoft store. They sell some Samsung Galaxy S8s that come pre-installed with all the Microsoft stuff that are using the Microsoft launcher.
I think that's what they need to do. They need to make a silver magnesium beautiful phone, which I think it'll be pretty because the Surface products are pretty. I love the squares.
But
and the short rounded corners.
Windows Phone ran Android apps.
Yeah, so they could bring it back.
It didn't have to have Android. It actually ran them.
Well, I'm just saying if they don't want to spend the time to redevelop Windows Mobile or Windows 10.
But they don't have to.
Phone.
Windows 10 now is the same as Windows Mobile.
Well, I know, but it's like, if they just wanted to not spend too much time on making it more mobile friendly.
They don't have to.
Well, I know.
You know what you need to do? You need to change your screen resolution to a mobile phone resolution.
And see what happens?
It turns into the phone interface.
Oh, that's neat. And so just build a Surface phone. I mean, just invest in it. I think people will buy it. I know somebody here that would buy it.
I would sign up right now and even prepay for the Andromeda device.
I hope they do too, because that folding tablet, I think that would be kind of cool.
It would be awesome. Microsoft. Please don't kill it.
Do they even have foldable screens yet? Isn't somebody working on that?
LG and Samsung have had them for a couple of years.
It's just funny. It's like all of Apple's competitors are what Apple buys their screens from. It's funny.
Well, Apple doesn't actually make anything.
They just design it in Cupertino and then have...
Who makes the A4 processors for them?
I think Qualcomm did for a while, and then TI made some, and then...
TSMC.
Yeah, that's what it is.
TSMC. And... They license the GPU from PowerVR. they get their memory from Samsung, who also makes their panels most of the time.
Yeah.
Foxconn makes their motherboards. Intel makes their CPUs.
I think they're switching to somebody else for displays, and so that's how the phones act. I think the new one's going to be a little bit cheaper.
That's cool. Yeah, because I know the OLED on the X is a Samsung OLED.
Yeah. The only thing I worry about OLED, is your phone OLED?
It is.
Do you worry about burn-in? Have you seen any burn-in?
I don't have any burn-in, but Samsung has also been doing this for a really long time. And what they do to prevent the burn-in is like, you know, here, I'll show you on the webcam. Yeah, y'all can't see this, guys.
Yeah, this is great podcasting right here.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to get them to do video. But you see the little home button down there on the always on screen?
I do.
It shifts 2 pixels over.
All the time?
Like every 10 minutes or so.
Well, that's good.
And you can't really see it with your eye. But it moves so that it doesn't do any burn-in.
That's good. Because I didn't know it had an always-on button. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's always-on.
But because it's like, I know, like, if I check my lock screen a lot, am I going to have, like, the time burned in on the phone all the time?
No, not at all.
That's just what I worry about.
No, and it used to be like that. It was like that. Like, the first Samsung phone that I had, they had an issue in the software where the home bar...
Mm-hmm.
Didn't disappear quick enough, and I had a burned-in home bar. I had a burned-in home bar on my Lumia 950.
The Lumias had OLEDs?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Oh, everybody has, but Apple.
Yeah, well, Apple's going to have like OLED now and an LCD, I think, model in the new one. So.
And you know what, though? Personally, I like the LCDs better, the IPS displays.
I think it's fine, to be honest with you. I just... I would rather the iPad have the OLED just because that's kind of where I like consume media, and so like Blacker Blacks and videos would be kind of cool. And seeing more of the high dynamic range.
The colors are wrong. I mean,
yeah.
They're a lot brighter, but the world does not look like that.
Yeah, I hear that, but you know. But yeah, so that could be our show this week. I just really wanted to talk about this Surface Go and how it could be potentially great for beneficial for schools. And I think it could be if they could, get that price down a little bit. And I'm sure they'll offer education pricing.
If you would like to send us a review unit, we will do an in-depth analysis and get back with you on it. Come on, Microsoft.
Yeah, send us one. Love one. and make sure it comes in a box without a return label. I just kid. And I'll promise I'll say nothing but good
things.
I'll
even call it Alcatel like it is.
Hey, if they sponsor the show that week, we'll actually only say positive things about it. So.
There you go.
That's surely not of a breach of trust. Is it like a, what's that thing where like people that get paid by somebody say good things about it because they get paid by it?
Conflict of interest.
Yeah, conflict of interest. I knew that. I just didn't know what I was thinking. It's just
we weird. Would not conflict our interest here.
No, just I'll take anybody's money. Say whatever you want about anybody.
We are in education, so.
Actually, we cannot take bribes or gifts or anything.
No, we cannot.
We have rules, so we can't. I don't think technically when we go to conferences, we can actually accept swag that people
you're
give away.
You're not supposed to. You're supposed to disclose it if it goes over $50.
Yeah, it's like I don't think you're supposed to get anything like that when it comes to like education, and so that's just things that nobody talks about. If you have any questions or anything, you can send us an email at educatingtech@gmail.com. you can reach out to us on Twitter at educatingtech. You can follow Chris at Feeks at Feeks, and I am at Twist of Matt. For links and show notes, we have a whole two links, I think, that are going into this document, two or three real big show notes this week. You can find those at educatingtech.net/43.
42. Okay.
I'm losing track of my numbers. I have it written at the top of the show notes, too, but I'm not on the show notes page. I keep switching tabs all the time.
You know what's sad? I am.
So, 42, and you can find our links and show notes there. And like I mentioned in the intro, if you like what we're doing, you can go to patreon.com/educatingtech and become a patron. And once we get some of those patrons start coming in, maybe we'll start doing some content for that. We've got some stuff kind of lined up and in the can that we're working on. But we're just kind of hanging on to it until we actually see whether or not the patron thinks it's going to be a success or not. And if it doesn't end up being a success, it doesn't end up being a success. Not a big deal. We just want to help y'all who help us, I guess, in a way. Help each other, because that's what schools have to do. We have to help each other.
I don't know if you mentioned it. Audibletrial.com/educatingtech.
Yeah, that's right. You can always go to audibletrial.com/educatingtech and get a free audiobook. For the 30-day free trial. We didn't really do an ad today. I know y'all probably getting tired of hearing Audible ads all the time, so we kind of give you a break, but you can always go to that web address. Yeah.
Right now, if you are an Amazon Prime member, you can get Audible for $5 for the first 3 months after your trial expires, too.
That is a great deal.
So you can get 4 months for $15.
That's not a bad deal at all. And that's like $15 and you get
four books, which is
basically
a
book a month. So it's really good, really, really, really good.
And then you cancel.
Yeah, then you cancel.
And or keep
don't,
all four.
Or don't cancel. It's up to you. But audibletrial.com/educatingtech to start that neat thing so you can tell Audible you heard about it here. And so we'll get a little bit of cheese from that, I guess. But that's our show, and we'll see you next week. See you later, Chris.
See you later, Matt.